Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
It's an honor to be able to speak here. I appreciate Pastor Bill and Sandy. Just, you guys appreciated the last couple of weeks why Pastor Bill, we allow him to go out and take what we have here and sow into the lives of other people, but then he opens this up for other people to come in and minister. It's a special thing. I've got friends that are in ministry and they pastor different churches. They're like, man, what do you guys got going on there? And it's like, there's a lot of people that have an incredible gifting and anointing to communicate God's word, and it's a privilege for me to be able to share with you this morning. This is a message that God put on my heart in May. I think it was the last time I was able to speak here, and out of one of the points that I made in that message, God began to stir this in me, and it came from a question that I asked myself, and I'm going to propose it to us today, and I'm going to answer that question. I believe it's a word that God has in season for us. And the reason why I share that information with you, I was out of pocket last week, and so I jumped on the podcast and heard what Pastor Taylor spoke about last week, and I thought, uh-oh, our messages really overlap. And then I thought, man, that's on purpose. God's speaking. God wants to say something. He wants us to hear something. And so there's a friend of mine, he says it like this, that even though you're going to hear me talk, I pray that you hear the Holy Spirit speak. And that's what I want for you today. You're going to hear me talk, but the Holy Spirit is going to speak, and he's going to show you things in your life that I could never speak to or never even know. And I want you to be attentive to what he has to say to you today. I think about Second Mile and the season that we're in with that. Molly Hart is teaching on a class on thinking like God. And today we're going to talk about thoughts. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. That last message I preached, I spoke about a point of Jesus stripping or removing the authority and the power that the enemy has over us. And Jesus now walks in that authority, and therefore we have the authority. So if we have this authority, then why is there still a fight of faith? Excuse me. Why do we still have a fight of faith? The struggles that we have in our own lives, believing God for things, there's still this fight on this earth. Why is that? Faith is just a fancy word for trust. So it's a trust. Do we trust God? Do we trust the world? Do we trust God? Do we trust science? And in our world today, we're bombarded with news and information. We all know this. And we've got all these decisions that we're making. And it's, where does our trust, where does our alliance face? The enemy attacked humanity at the very beginning with thought. The only thing he has no power, he has no authority. The only thing he has is lies and manipulation to deceive you and to dupe you, to pull you away from following God's truth, from following his principles, from following his promises, causing us to doubt God. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, the very beginning, their aunt Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. God says, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The enemy, like the little slithering, deceptive snake that he is, comes in, rolls in, starts talking to Eve. Did he really mean not eat every tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or every tree, excuse me? It sounds like our kids sometimes. Like you give them an instruction, and it's like, well, but, and then they try to just try to twist it a little bit. This morning, our daughter turned 13 this week. So thank you guys for helping us raise a teenager now. So Beth had a girls' night away last night. So it was just me and Logan at home, my son. And this morning he's like, hey, buddy, I'm trying to keep my mind straight, my heart pure, because I'm going to be speaking this morning at church. So I need you to be ready at 8:40, 8:45. We're going to leave. We're going to go to church. I don't want to come in and crack the whip and brush your teeth, get your hair done, all that stuff. And your clothes are laid out. You just knock it out, okay? Okay, Dad. 8:30 rolls around. Bub, you ready to go? No, we leave in 10 minutes, but Dad, I just want to, and he tries to start finagling his way out of it. He tries to argue with us. That's what the enemy tries to come in and do, is just to twist, just to manipulate, just to kind of bend, just to break the rules a little bit. Surely, he doesn't want you to eat from every tree. For God knows if you eat of this, you'll be like him. You will be aware of what is good and evil. He begins to tempt them through lust. You're going to be like God. Adam and Eve fall prey to the temptation. They act on that temptation, and sin enters the world through a thought. Changes the course of humanity by one thought. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he just got done being baptized. The enemy takes him into the wilderness. What does he do? If you're truly the Son of God, I want you to turn these stones into bread. The enemy tries to deceive Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, by attacking his identity through a thought. If you bow down and worship me, all these things that you see, I will give to you. The temptation of lust by a thought. That's all the enemy has today. God speaks to us through thoughts. If you remember the story in Matthew 16, Jesus is with his disciples and he's asking them, who are men saying that I am? And he asked them, who do you say that I am? We all know that Peter pipes up and he says, you are the Son of Christ. You're the Son of God. You're the living Christ. Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. God sowed a seed of thought into Peter. Just a moment later, Jesus is telling and describing to his disciples that I'm going to have to leave you. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be crucified on a cross. I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to raise from the dead in 3 days. And Peter's like, no, you're not. He's starting to argue with Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. The thought that entered Peter's mind that he articulated was Satan. And Jesus saw that and he looked right through him and he took that thought captive. And he said, that is not true. The only thing the enemy has on you today in this time, in this hour, this world that we live in, is to mess with your minds, to deceive you, to manipulate, to try to pull you away from God. Our thought life directly impacts our soul. A lot of times we forget that we are three-part beings. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. We live in a city where Oral Roberts built a campus, and for those of us that went there, we understand the principle of spirit, soul, and body. They called this thing the fun run. And every semester, you'd have to run 3 dadgum miles that was timed to develop your body because we were spirit, soul, and body. I hated it. It was like Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock in the morning when you went to bed at 5, and it was just a bad plan. If they would have put it like at 3 p.m., it would have been better. We're spirit, we're soul, we're body. We focus a lot on the spirit. We talk about the spirit. We stir ourselves. We feed our spirit. But we forget about the soul. And I thank God that in this day and age, the soul has come to the forefront of the church and our world. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your thought life, the way you think, will affect your emotions, your feelings. Your feelings or your emotion will impact your will or your desire. People are losing their desire to even pursue God. They're losing their desire to pursue their dreams, their spouse, their children. They're losing desire because their thought life isn't healthy. The fight that we have for our faith is in our minds. God wants to expose the enemy in your life today. That might be the title of the message. I don't know. Well, there's a couple that could be. But fully expose the enemy. He wants to shed light on things in your life that's going to set you free today. Mental health at the forefront of our society. Last week, Pastor Taylor talked about the access that we have. Just one Twitter from around the world. The news in Afghanistan breaks. And I had like 4 sleepless nights in a row because of it. Because they're on a different time zone. So we're working 24 hours a day. We get all this information and our minds weren't built to process this. It begins to affect our emotions. It begins to affect our desire. We say things that we don't mean. We're worn down. We're heavy. We're tired. But yet we're fighting this fight of faith. We're building our spirit, but your mind is exhausted. Your emotions are exhausted. It's killing your desire and it's going to impact your faith. And in a minute here, I'm going to show you where our soul and our spirit intersect. And the healing that God wants to bring to our lives today and to open our eyes to what the enemy, the deceiving schemes and strategy the enemy plays in our minds. I ran across a statistic when I was studying for this message on healthline.com. And it says, depression is the world's number one health problem. This is out of a book that I read and Healthline was the source. It causes more deaths than cancer across the world. That's crazy. Antidepressant use is up 300% in the last decade. That's an interesting correlation. I don't know for sure, but if you go back and see when social media really maybe made an onslaught into humanity's life, there might be a correlation there. That our thoughts, everything that we're seeing, envy, jealousy, bitterness, anger, concern, worry, anxiety, fear, information that we're processing, decision fatigue, we get worn down, our soul gets worn down. We are probably living in an era where the fight for humanity's thought life is greater than it has ever been. because we have access to so much information. Our thought life, this is defined by me, there might be a better definition, but a consistent pattern or even a culture or a way of thinking that you allow to play over and over in your mind. That's your thought life. Your thought life will build your mindset, your default, the way that begins to solidify the way that you think and you process information and you look at life. And it's at higher risk than maybe it's ever been in our lifetime. I want to turn to a story in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to see something that I think is going to help open your eyes to what God wants to do, because he's going to expose the enemy in your thought life today. This is a story that we're all familiar with. Jesus has just come off the water with his disciples. He's come out of a boat, and this religious leader, we'll call him a pastor, comes running up to Jesus, and he says, "Master, Master, my daughter is sick. She is dying. I need you to come and heal her." He has heard the news about who this man Jesus is. So Jesus begins to walk, and he's going to go, and he's going to heal this man's daughter. A crowd begins to form. This great expectation begins to build in the people that we're about to go witness Jesus heal this man's little girl. And a crowd forms. The audience begins to build, but there's a woman in the background. The woman who has had an issue of bleeding. We know this story. We're going to read it real quick for context. Matthew 5, verses 25 through 28 in the New Living Translation. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. We determined in the first service, I think that's bad English. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came from behind through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, dead gum, this is good. If I can touch his robe, I will be healed. Let's camp out here for a minute. This woman has dealt with this issue for 12 years. She has seen every doctor, every science, every form of technology available in the day. She has tried to use it to resolve her problem, to bring a solution, to bring her healing. She has spent everything that she has had. You have to understand the cultural times that she was considered unclean. So if she touched a piece of furniture, or she sat in a chair and you went and sat in the chair, you would be considered unclean. You would have to take your clothes off, wash those, bathe, and you would be considered unclean until nightfall of that night. Completely rejected, an outcast of society, lonely. You want to talk about a mind that became the devil's playground? Her mind was that. The thought attacks that he could throw, you're not needed, you don't exist. People don't even acknowledge you. Go live in the cave that you came from. There's no purpose for you. But she had heard about Jesus. And she thought to herself, are the things that I'm hearing about this man, are they true? Does he really heal people? What if? What if this is true? I've tried everything else. What do I have to lose? What if I could get in his presence? What if I could just reach out and touch his robe? Could I be healed? What if I just? She begins to have a conversation inside of her own mind with herself, building her hope, building her faith, building the courage to maybe go do something that she's been looking for 12 years. But don't forget about this little snake. Nah. He's not even a doctor. He's not going to help you. The moment you touch the first person to try to press in to get your healing, that crowd's going to freak out because you're unclean. They don't care about you. There's no chance. There's not even an opportunity. Doubt and fear and anxiety begin to fill her mind because of the enemy. But she thought to herself, if I could just touch the tip, that's all I need to do. And thank God she wins the battle in her mind and she begins to push through the crowd, but not just the physical crowd. She's pushing through the crowd of thoughts in her mind of worry and fear, of rejection, further rejection of what the people are going to think as she begins to touch them. How about pushing through the thought of being a victim? It's just for the pastor's daughter. It's just for other people. This isn't for me. I've tried everything. My ailment has been around for years. It's not possible. I'll just sit here and wallow over my pain. She fought through that. She pressed through and she touched the hem of his garment and she's healed immediately. The disciples start freaking out. Jesus is like, who touched me? They're like, everybody. No, something special. There was something unique about the touch that I just had. Somebody who truly believed, somebody who had an expectation of something. Something was taken from me. She falls at the feet of Jesus. She's trembling. I don't think she's trembling because of Jesus. I think she was trembling because she was afraid of what people were thinking and the fear that she just broke through. What did Jesus, how did he respond to her? Does anybody remember? It was your faith that made you well. Yes, it was her faith, but it started with a thought. It started in her soul. Some of you are fighting a battle. Your faith is weak because your mindset is weak. Your thought life is weak. If there's anything that I want you to get out of today, this is what I told the first service, it is this point. This is what I believe God wants somebody or people to see today, that it is our thought life. The fight that you have is in your mind. Is your thought life strengthening or weakening your faith? Where are you at in your own mind this morning? Faith is the currency of the kingdom, something Pastor Bill talks about often. The enemy wants to steal your faith. He wants to pull you away from trusting God just like he did Adam and Eve. And he's gonna do it by messing with your heart and messing with your mind because he can only deceive you. He can only manipulate certain situations and circumstances in your life to bring this into your mindset to pull you away. This is why we have to wear armor. And we all know in Ephesians 1 or 6:17 that we're supposed to put on the helmet of salvation, but I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We're gonna read the Passion Translation. I want to show you what Paul describes to the church in Thessalonians during a time where he was concerned about what was going on in society. There was talk of Jesus' return. They were a little bit off. Maybe it matches kind of what we're going through today. And it's interesting, the two pieces of armor that Paul determines to talk about in this passage of scripture. It says, but since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed. The New King James Version says to be sober-minded by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts and a helmet of the hope of salvation over our thoughts. The breastplate and the helmet of hope of salvation. Not just the helmet of salvation. I can't teach on hearts. We don't have enough time right now, but Matthew 15:19 says, for if out of the abundance of heart, evil thoughts will come. You go look it up because I just destroyed that verse. You have to guard your heart. I can't teach on that right now. The helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope. This is an interesting truth in scripture that applies to our armor that I think we often overlook and we forget. Here's the important thing about salvation. There's three parts of salvation. There's justification, there's sanctification, there's glorification. Justification happens when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you want to do that today, you're going to have an opportunity to do it. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth unto salvation. Salvation is nothing missing and nothing broken. The moment you do that, you are immediately saved. You are in right standing. You are righteous before God. That's justification. Sanctification is an ongoing process that a lot of times we forget. Glorification is what when Jesus comes and he returns, we go back into heaven, we will be glorified with him in heaven. But sanctification is the here and the now. Jesus came to make a way to God the Father. It's a pathway that we are all on. And sometimes we run and we jump in and we get that justification and we stop there, we kind of hang out, we have little conversations, but we forget that we're supposed to continue to pursue God. We're pursuing him in his word and we're learning. And a lot of times as we get closer to God, people talk about how we discover the more imperfections in our life. But I say as we get closer to God, the more we see the very image of who we're supposed to be created and folded into, to shaped into. This is why in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to be renewed in your mind all the time, daily, constantly, because that's where we're gonna be transformed to the image of God as we pursue him. It's a constant process. Sanctification. We have to put the helmet of hope of salvation on. How do we build our faith? Through our thoughts. Hebrews 11:1. You guys are all familiar with this verse. If you're new to church, you're not, so I'm going to read it for you. Everybody else, you've probably heard it before. Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Hope is this. It's a joyful, confident expectation of the goodness of God. It's not wishful thinking. It's an absolute expectancy that God is good on his word and whatever he says will happen, will happen. The Bible calls it an anchor to our souls. It's an anchor that anchors your feelings, your emotions, your mind, your desire. It's the goodness of God. It's the expectation that you can actually not just have a healed marriage, but you can have laughter and joy and peace in your marriage. It's the expectation that God's favor is on you. It's going before you. It's guarding you like a shield. It's opening doors. Your business is blessed. It's the expectation that the prodigal child that you've been believing God for is going to come home, that you're going to be able to spend Christmas with that child. It's the expectation that you don't let go of it because God's goodness, his goodness, he's faithful and he never disappoints. Hope is the invisible world. Faith turns into reality the things that we can't see. Hope is in our mindset. We paint a picture in our mindset. We imagine the things that we are hoped for. It gives our faith something to latch into. Our faith reaches into the invisible and it pulls the thing out that we're believing God for. This woman just thought to herself, if I can just, before the healing happened, if I can just, I just think to myself, I could see myself touching his robe and being healed. Hope is like the architect that draws a picture. Faith is like Joel Coggins, who's the builder that comes in and takes that picture and it turns it into a reality where we can walk into that building, we can experience it. They work together. There's a synergistic relationship between our mindset, our thoughts, and our spirit, our faith. Those things God wants to put in the forefront of people's minds today, that the struggle you have been having, you're thinking, man, I'm believing God for this. I hear these messages on faith, but things aren't aligning up. I don't really feel like I have strong faith, but I'm too cautious to admit it because I'm afraid I'm gonna be accused of not having faith, that I'm not saying the right thing. And so you're stuck in this little battle and warring in your own mind, and God wants you to know that you forgot your helmet. You gotta put on the helmet of hope, the helmet of salvation. The last 18 months, you've been getting your teeth kicked in. See, if the enemy wants to steal our faith, he's going to steal our focus. My favorite passage of scripture is Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I might be quoting a different version that's on the screen. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord is everlasting strength. That word mind is our creative imagination. We are created in the image of God. He is a creator. He has given you the ability to create in your mind, to create the mental picture, to develop a picture of hope that you have for what you're believing God for, to give your faith something to latch on to. But if your mind isn't fixed on him, you're going to get distracted. So instead of fixating on Jesus, band, if you guys want to come up and get ready, you're thinking about the boats in the Pacific Ocean. And all you can see is an empty shelf in the store and no toilet paper and all the above. You drive by lots and there's no cars and it's like, what's next? And our minds begin to race. We're focused on the wrong thing rather than being focused on the Lord. The hope of our salvation, nothing missing and nothing broken. The greatest commandment, let's pull everything aside that I just said. Let's talk about the greatest commandment in closing here. Mark 12:29-30. Jesus was answering the religious leaders of his day and he said, this is the most important of all the commandments is this, that the Lord our God is one and you are to love the Lord your God with a passionate heart from the depths of your soul and with every thought. How much do we love God with our thoughts? How much are we even aware of this in our own mind? And with all your strength, this is the greatest commandment that we have. Are we putting in the work to love God with our thoughts? Are we even mindful of it? If our thoughts were to be displayed on a white screen, would they glorify God? Would they pass the Philippians 4:8 funnel? Whatever is true, praiseworthy, good report, noble. Is that what it would look like? Would it be loving our Savior with our thoughts. You might be in here, you're struggling with that fight of faith. I'm telling you, God simply, the one thing is he wants you to know you forgot your helmet. And that he loves you, and that the thing that he put in your heart is still meant to be. That there's a plan and the purpose, that you're not forgotten, that you are welcome, that you are needed. Whatever the enemy's been throwing at you, it's all deception, it's all lies. You just gotta put your helmet back on. A lot of times, the last piece of armor, football players got their pads on, they got everything else ready to go, and they run out in the field, they throw that helmet on. Well, sometimes we run out in the field and you forget to throw the helmet on. Pick up your helmet and put it on. As they were preparing Jesus to be hung on the cross, they took some thorns and they began to twist them together, and they placed and they smashed this crown of thorns over his head, and it began to poke holes in his head, and blood began to drip down on his face. And it's an imagery of maybe some of the thoughts that the enemy has been attacking you with. You struggle to forgive because you can't imagine, you can't let go of the thought of what somebody did to you. And so that thought keeps you in prison from being able to forgive. You want to forgive, your spirit's leading you to forgive, but you can't because that thought holds you back and it keeps you in prison. You live in a free country, you're driving down the highway however you want, you got all these things, but you're still held hostage within your own mind, so it's heavy and it's weighty, and you're not living the life more abundantly that we hear about in Scripture. And so that you start questioning faith and trust in God because you're not winning the war in your own mind. You struggle with self-doubt that you're not enough, I'm not good enough, I've been overlooked my whole life, I've been on the outside, I've never been on the inside of a circle, I don't know what that feels like, so it must be me. So you live in this place of shame that there's something wrong with you, and so you run and you retreat and you hide and you stay in darkness rather than being light and allowing God to heal your mind and your soul so your faith can be strengthened and fulfill the purpose that you have. The war is in your minds. You struggle relationally because you think that you're perceived a certain way. And out of that conversation that you have in your own mind that you let play over and over again, it causes you to interact with other people awkward. Maybe there's certain relationships that are like this for you. And because the Bible says as a man thinks in his heart, the more that we allow that to play out in our lives, the more it actually becomes a reality. The next thing you know, that you're living a false truth because you're living the lie that the enemy has placed in your mind, and you think it's real. You think it's true, and it's not, because you forgot your helmet. God wants you to break through today. The crowds of those thoughts, he wants you to break through. If you can just touch his robe, you will be healed. Just touch his presence. Each one of those scenarios, we could take countless scenarios and draw it back to our thoughts. They represent that crown of thorns. You were never intended to wear a crown of thorns. We know in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, he was criticized for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You are healed in your mind in Jesus' name. Just like your physical healing is past tense, your mental healing is past tense. He already wore a crown of thorns for you, and he gave you a helmet of hope of salvation in place of that crown. You just had the wrong thing on. You got to put that helmet back on today. There is breakthrough in your thought life today that's going to lead to your faith being strengthened and encouraged. It's like a train track that your faith and your thought lights are going to be taking you to the place that you want to go. This is what's available for you this morning. But you walked in here, it's heavy, and we get dressed and we come in and we smile and we kiss our wives and we shake hands here, and man, I'm good. And some of you for 12 years have been living like that, but there's something heavy on you. The Bible says that he has given us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And this morning, it's Sunday, so we typically don't do this on Sundays, but we're gonna close with worship. There's going to be elders on the side of the stage. If you want to get your life right with God, I'm going to ask you to come up and meet with one of these elders. If you need prayer for anything, you've been struggling with depression, you feel oppressed, I want you to come up and meet with some of these people. They are ready for you. The lady with the issue of blood, she built and stirred her own faith. But sometimes, just like the story of the paralyzed man in Scripture, he couldn't walk to get to where Jesus was at. And so his friends came and picked him up. They took him to the house. The line was long, so they jumped on top of the roof. They ripped a hole in the roof, and they dropped him down at the feet of Jesus. And every now and then, we need people because our faith is weak. We've lost that desire. We're so heavy and we're so beaten that we need someone to pick us up and put us at the feet of Jesus so he can touch us and be healed. And that's available for you. That's what the local church is about, is that we're connected and that we can help each other get to where we need to be.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.